Now, I once heard somebody say that it's good when you start to preach to reveal an area of weakness to the congregation so they don't feel intimidated. Now, the area of weakness I'm going to share with you has some very, very serious repercussions in my life. The area of weakness is that I have trouble identifying the graphics on the door of loo's in a place I've not been to. So when I go to the restrooms and I look at the graphics on the door and I go into a bit of a confusion. And I look at one and I say, am I a one-legged person who is triangular that has big bunches sticking out the side of her head? And the answer is no. So I then look at the graphics on the other door and I say, am I a two-legged person wearing trousers with very short hair? And sadly, the answer is yes. This is a weakness that can lead to terrible situations of great embarrassment. But do you know, it is really, really important that we read labels correctly. And the story we're going to look at today is a situation where confusion had entered in, where people thought that they could read labels clearly and accurately, and then suddenly they didn't make sense anymore. So we are looking at Acts 11, which if Graham could put that up, and if you have Bibles, we'll follow it through. I'm actually going to read through the whole of the story. As Andrew said last week, some of this story was what he covered last week, but I'm hopefully bringing a different aspect of it today. So I'm just going to read through the whole of this, because it's very good, isn't it, just to be sort of reading scripture. Peter was summoned to report to Jerusalem, because basically he was in trouble, because there was something happening that had completely confused all the Jewish apostles and brethren. So, starting at verse 1, now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air and probably bananas and sausages as well. I also heard a voice saying to me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a voice from heaven answered a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here, and he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way into Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now at this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. It's a wonderful thing that we're all created differently. And it's also a wonderful thing that when we see one another, we actually recognise each other. And there is an area of our brain that actually lines up the things that we recognise about somebody. And that process takes place, which is why sometimes we can see someone in the street and think it's somebody and then it isn't. But there are enough factors going on in our brain to clock up a recognition. And isn't it wonderful that God actually has put us into families and tribes and nations that actually have a difference to each other? And it's the way that we recognise that we belong to a particular culture, or that we belong to a particular tribe or a particular family, is because there are particular features about us that are particular to that family. And these are really good things that we recognise, and gives us a great sense of belonging to our family or to our tribe. In our family, it's very funny when Robin answers the phone and I hear him going, "Oh, yappa-doo-doo, zipperoony." I know immediately that he's talking to one of his brothers. He doesn't talk to anyone else that way, thankfully. But somehow in his family, they have this funny talk, which is zipperoony, yappa-doo-doo, which they obviously have been doing for decades, and that none of us, the rest of us, it identifies them as who they are. And I think it is really interesting that when we meet someone new for the first time and we get into conversation with them, the way our conversation goes is almost trying to find out, what have we got in common? What is it about you or your interests or something about you that is the same as me that says, actually, I recognise you in this? And you know what it's like when you meet somebody for the first time and you can't find anything in common. It is really hard, isn't it? Because finding something in common with somebody else is a way of saying, I want to form relationship with you. If there is someone we have nothing in common with, it is very difficult to form relationship. So all these identifications, these labels that we have for people, are really good things that identify the really special things about them and that aid relationship between us when we recognise that identification. Now, I have a friend called Alison who has a great story that when she was at university with me, and she was invited to a 21st birthday party up in Scotland, in Edinburgh, of a friend of hers. And it was one of those parties that was held in a hotel, and all their family, friends, you know, who'd been known them for years and years, came along. So it was a big party with a lot of people. And she disappeared off to the restroom, hopefully the right one, with one leg, two legs, I don't know. And she was just in there, and this woman came up to her, and she looked her in the face, and she scanned all her facial features. And she said to her, "Are you a bigot?" This was rather shocking for this poor girl. "Are you a bigot?" And what she didn't realise was that there was actually a family called the Bigots, who were very close friends. And obviously my friend bore some facial resemblance to this family called the Bigots. But it was rather shocking, and I don't think that comes under the title of prophetic encouragement that I want to give. This story that we're looking at today in Acts 11 is about the labelling of people, not the labelling that draws people together, but it's about labels that actually keep people apart. The labels of the Jews and the Gentiles, of the Jews and the Greeks in this story, there were labels that they had put on each other, which actually kept them apart. There was a fear of the unknown. When they looked at one another, they looked at the differences. The labels that each group had put on the other were actually labels that separate, not labels that bring together. Behind those labels, there was suspicion and there were assumptions being made. And this isn't just Peter. In that scripture, we say that Peter, when he was asked to eat these unclean things, he went, "No, not me. I'm not going to eat that. That is unclean." So Peter had a very, very strong response to say, "I am not one of them. I am me. I am not like them." And actually, the beginning of this, when he's summoned to the rest of the apostles and the brethren in Jerusalem, their response was the same. "But we are the chosen people. We are the Jews. What they? How? Ah, oh." And all this sort of confusion has come into them. Right, I'm going to show it to you in a different way. And I'd really like some volunteers, but being a military wife, I'm going to do it in military style, which basically says you, 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 and you. Oh, you. Sorry, Jean. Would you like to come up, Andy? I did actually warn Andy. Thank you. But Richard, if you could come as well. Could I have three of you standing here and Andy over that way? Would you like to just put that on? Well, Richard, thank you. Oh, Andy, there's yours. Andy. Not yet. Now, I have three different apples here. You can be the pink lady. Aren't you relieved, gentlemen? Would you like to be Granny Smith? And Richard, you're a golden delicious. Now, this group, you can just share your... Look at each other's apples. Do you want to just show each other each other's apples? These guys are going... When I was brought up in Yorkshire, and we had a saying in Yorkshire which says, "All twirls queer save thee and me, but even thee's a bit queer." You can show each other apples going, "Well, you're a bit different from me. That apple is not quite the same as my apple, but we are all apple eaters. So that's okay. We'll hang out together. We are different, but we want to stay together because we're all called apple eaters." Big R, everybody. Poor old Andy. She's on her own over here. She has a banana. She is a banana eater. And there's this great gulf between them. And these guys go over here go, "Oh, my word, look at her. How weird is she? What has she got in her hand? It's a funny shape. What would we want to do? Have anything in common with her? We are apple eaters. She's a banana eater. I think we'll just keep separate from her. Actually, we don't really know what to talk to her about. I think we'll just leave her over there. And we'll stay together because we are the apple eaters." But then suddenly this revelation comes to them that goes, "Oh my word, we all eat fruit." There is a higher label going on here than just their little individual, what they're holding in their hand, or even their label of apple eater and banana eater. They are all fruit eaters. Maybe we can reach out to each other and share together. Would you guys like to just go and shake Andy's hand and, you know, say hi to her over there? That would be great. Thank you very much. You can sit down now. You can take your apples and your banana and eat them. Thank you very much. In verse 9 of this scripture, this revelation was given to Peter. I'm glad these guys are still wearing their labels. God said to them, "What I have called clean, how can you call unclean? What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." Whoa! For Peter, I've got to look at these people in a different way. Maybe God has cleansed them. Maybe they are not unholy. Maybe God actually loves these Gentiles. And verse 12, it says, "The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings." And isn't that often the case when we come across people who are different? We have misgivings. We have fear in our heart about going to them and reaching out to them because we just don't know. It's the unknown. And yet when the Holy Spirit had given this revelation, then Peter could go without fear or without misgivings to them. And when he got there, what did he find? He found people just like him. He found human beings who had a deep longing for God. He found human beings who were loved and valued by the Lord. He found people who were ready to receive salvation in the same way that he had. Now, the Holy Spirit was really the clincher on the whole deal. If the Holy Spirit would fall on them, then they must be more than okay. You see, God had put a new label on this whole group of people. And that label said acceptable, cleansed, holy, beloved, included, and full of the Spirit. This was the label that God, this was how God saw them. This was the label God put on them. Now, the result of the falling of the Holy Spirit upon the Greeks, we can see in the final paragraph, really, of this passage. Verse 18, when this story was recounted to the apostles about how the Holy Spirit had fell upon these people, the apostles were convinced and they glorified God. In verse 20, we see that large numbers of Greeks turned to the Lord. Whereas before then the gospel was only being preached to the Jews, now the gospel was being preached to the Greeks and large numbers turned to the Lord. In verse 22, we see that Barnabas, who we know was an encourager and a real pastor, was sent out to care and encourage this new flock. And then they went and looked for Paul, the teacher, in verse 26. And they summoned Paul in and they brought Paul with his teaching gifts. And it says for a whole year he was teaching these new converts the ways of the Lord. And then in verse 28, we have Agabus the prophet who came in. So we have the apostles involved and rejoicing and glorifying God. We have the pastors released to pastor. We have the teachers teaching with skill and gifting. We have the prophetic released into the hearts of these people who initially had been labeled unclean and unholy and separated. So, of course, the challenge for us is, are there people that we find difficult because they look different, or they dress different, or they eat differently to us? Sometimes on the big issues, you know, like racism, and we're aware of those things, aren't they? But sometimes it's the small issues that divide us, like the apples. You know, they could have said, "I'm not going to have anything to do with you because you're a pink lady and I'm a Granny Smith." And sometimes it is the small issues between people that can get into our heart and make us withdraw from them because they are different. It may be the hobbies that people have that we have nothing in common with, and we can start to denigrate because their interests are different from ours. Are we constantly making jokes about people groups like the French or the Americans? Are we making comments about bankers or second-hand car salesmen? That's always a good one, isn't it? Or cat lovers or people who use antibacterial sprays? Quite a lot of jokes about those as well. Or Italian footballers. We can end up putting labels on people, and the attitude of our hearts towards them has it's focusing on the differences between us and them. And that can allow fear or misgivings to blind us, so that we actually forget that behind these labels are people, and they're people who God loves, and they're people who he is working in by his Spirit, and they are people God wants to save. They are people who Jesus died for. They are people who are worthy of honour. And sometimes we have so much fun poking fun at the labels that we can actually forget that behind that are real people who Jesus loves. And we've forgotten to honour them. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, we no longer regard people from a worldly point of view. So that's a challenge, that when we look at people, we're not looking at them from a worldly sense, but we're actually looking at them from in God's eyes. Galatians 3:26-28 says, so there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So yes, obviously there were Jews, there were Greeks. Yes, there are male and female. There are identification signs which are good and right for our tribe. But we no longer look at people and label them and denigrate them because of the labels that are on them. We are growing here an amazing honour culture where we are looking to see the labels that have been on people are no longer labels that we want to separate us from people, because we have a new name. Just like the name over those two groups were fruit eaters, we share a name with every person, and that is made in the image of God, loved by him, and accepted by God through the work of the cross. And so sometimes in this new honour culture, we find ourselves saying and speaking in the same old ways, and it doesn't quite ring true anymore with the new name that God has put over us. Now, I like a good joke, and especially jokes about Yorkshiremen and Scotsmen, because I am half Scottish and half Yorkshire. And so I could tell you the joke about how a Yorkshireman is a Scotsman with the generosity squeezed out and such like. But of course I'm not going to tell you that joke. Because we're taking a... I am just finding, you know, I'm just sharing this with you, that there are things that I used to say terribly easily about people group that actually now just sticks a little bit in my throat. And I think, actually, I can't say those things anymore, because those people are actually people who are loved. That doesn't mean I've lost my sense of humour. Sometimes the very people that we have difficulties with or that we have a fear of are the very people that God is calling us to have faith for and to go and reach. I have a friend of mine, Debbie, who lives in Bath, and she wouldn't mind me sharing this with you. She was having trouble about homeless people, and when she'd see them in the street, she'd find a whole mix of emotions coming up in her, saying, you know, well, why don't they just sort themselves out? And, you know, there's work there if they want them. And, you know, and she'd find a kind of something in her heart that wasn't very good. And when the Lord really convicted her of how loved each one of these people were to him, she cast off all of those things. She took those labels off. And actually, she has now ended up running a soup kitchen and working with the homeless with an incredible love and compassion for them. So sometimes it is the very people that we've kind of held back from are the ones that actually God is saying, come on, go and love them. Sometimes we label individuals in a way that thinks they are excluded from God's grace because of the choices and the decisions they've made. The culture in us is to put denigrating labels on people, on us. And we can look at other people in that sense, and we can lose faith that they will ever change. It's not that we're putting them down. It's not that we don't like them, but we look at what they have done and the choices they've made, and we can lose faith that they will ever change. But the wonderful news of the gospel is that every single person was made in the image of God, and the Holy Spirit is calling each person to come back to him. There is no one who is beyond the reach of the salvation of the Lord. There is no one who cannot be made cleansed and holy. There is not one person who cannot receive the Holy Spirit and see their lives transformed. And so for those of us who maybe have family members or neighbours or people we work with, and it just feels beyond our faith that they will ever turn and they will ever come to the Lord, I just want to really encourage you to take off that label that maybe you've put on them out of your own discouragement and begin to see them as somebody where the Holy Spirit is working, even if it looks very underground, and start to pray for them and have faith that they will come right through. One of the practical ways of doing that, I find, is actually to imagine them here in church, standing, worshipping, with their hands up, absolutely besotted with Jesus. And when I first started to do that, I was kind of like, this is so far-fetched. I cannot possibly believe that that will ever happen to that person. But actually, as I continued to feed myself with that image of them being part of us, belonging to us, and being full of the Holy Spirit and worshipping God, I thought, no, that is the person they were created to be, and that is God's heart for them. And the more I imagined them coming into that destiny, the more ready I was to reach out in love to them and to share the gospel with them. And there have been instances where those people have actually, that has almost been fulfilled in front of my eyes. Sometimes it's taken a while, and that person who I always thought would never be interested in the gospel has come to the Lord and actually been part of church. Sometimes we label ourselves, don't we? And we do live in a society where denigrating labels can be put on us. They are labels that make us feel bad about ourselves, make us feel low about ourselves, and maybe even brings us to the point where we think God's grace and the Holy Spirit are not able to come into us because of who we are. I carry a few of those labels that the culture around us would put on me. I'm middle class. Sometimes, you know, that can be used in quite a derogatory way. Oh, it's very middle class. I'm middle-aged. Maybe a little bit later middle-aged, but I am middle-aged. Again, that is a label culture puts upon us as being something actually not that good. Youth is everything. I am overweight. And for those people who struggle in this area, can know that obesity is the new leprosy for a lot of people. I'm a housewife. Well, actually not all that much. But the term of housewife can seem like a kind of derogatory thing. If anyone wants to make Robin cupcakes and, you know, knit him a jumper, that would be great. But the name of housewife, you know, again, it's got some negative overtones, hasn't it? And so we can, you know, we can have labels put on us by our parents, by our friends even at school, by our work colleagues that actually make us feel small about ourselves. Not the one I want. A label that I wore for a very, very long time was this one. Second rate. Not good enough. A bit rubbish. Bit rubbish as a person, bit rubbish as a Christian, bit rubbish as everything I do. And I wore this for a long time. I don't actually want to keep it on my head for very long. I'll just let you see it. I became a Christian, and I'd go along to meetings like this, Sunday after Sunday, and I'd go forward for prayer, because I knew I just was second rate, I was a bit rubbish. What I needed was an anointing of the Spirit. If only I could get an anointing of the Spirit, then maybe it would be okay. But it never seemed to quite work. And so I'd come back the following Sunday, and the following Sunday, and the following Sunday, until I got the revelation that when I came to the Lord, he took that off. He took it off. And instead of that, I know you've seen this before. Rachel made it for me for the Jubilee. That actually, I received the Holy Spirit when I was 16 in the chemistry lab at school, 10 minutes before a biology lesson. That was when the Holy Spirit came into me. That was the point where the Lord said, I have gifted you with myself. You are a loved, gifted, anointed child of God. Now, for decades, and I mean decades, I did not believe that until I got that revelation that this is who I am. Second rate? Not good enough? Maybe. But this is what he put on my head. Because I am loved. I am accepted. What was maybe called unclean, the Lord has called holy. And I began to realize that I didn't have to go running to the front every week for a fresh anointing. Don't get me wrong, you know, I'm a woman who loves to pray and give people anointings and blessings of the Spirit. But what I mean is that deep down, I knew that I could minister out of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the clincher of me, of bringing me revelation that I am accepted and loved by him. And I want to be honest with you that there are times when that one sneaks back on my head. Sometimes it's because of what other people have said and done. Sometimes it's just because, like putting on an old pair of slippers, sometimes that one feels more comfortable, even if it actually is horrible and rubbish and makes you feel terrible. But there is sometimes a comfort in allowing this to stay on our heads. And at first, this may feel a little bit heavy or a little bit uncomfortable or a little bit, are you sure? What will people think if I go out wearing a crown rather than this pseudo-humility? And yet with time, as we learn to wear it and to lift our heads up, to know who we are, to replace those labels with what does God call us? Who does he say he is? We find that we have a new name that the hand of the Lord will give. Isaiah 62:4 says, it will no longer be said to you forsaken, nor to your land will it no longer be said desolate, but you will be called my delight is in her and your land married. You will be called sought out, a city not forsaken. So we have to change our labels, even the labels we put upon ourselves. I would just really like to issue a response or a challenge to some of the things that I've said today. If in your heart you have felt, yeah, there are maybe people groups, types of people that trigger me. You know what they say, if something gets your back up, find out what's wrong with your back. If you know that there are particular types of people, particular issues that have crossed your mind as I've been talking, that trigger something in you, gets your back up, today is a wonderful opportunity to just say, I let it go. I am not going to call unholy what you have called holy. If there are individuals in your lives that you have lost faith that they will ever get saved, that they will ever be transformed or ever changed, now is a time to be able to stand and just say, I'm going to rip that label off them that I have put on them. And instead, I'm going to say, the Holy Spirit is at work and can fill and transform that person. And I'm now going to just pray that Holy Spirit, you just move in them in power and bring them through to their destiny. It may be that we know that we have labels ourselves that we need to take off. Those labels that we've put on ourselves that have kept us small. And that now is the time that we take those off and we receive what the Lord would say about us. And then we're going to open ourselves up and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us afresh again. So, I don't know, if you're able to stand, I'd really appreciate it if you could stand. Angela, if you could come and play, that would be fantastic. And Caleb. And let us just start to have that encounter with the Lord. Because today is a fantastic day of freedom. I tell you, the day I decided I was chucking that label off my head was a fantastic day of freedom for me. And I believe the Lord just wants to be doing some stuff amongst us. So first of all, if you know that there are people groups, there are issues that have triggered you, if there are people that you have separated from out of fear, then Father, I pray, Lord, forgive us our pride and forgive us our prejudice against these people groups. We want to overcome our fear. Lord, help us to see people through your eyes. Lord, we want to be people who honour people made in the image of God. So even now, Lord, those people, we just rip those labels off them that we have put on them. And we declare that they are loved by you. They are loved by you. Lord, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit, just as you did to those Greeks. Lord, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit into those people. Lord, send them into the French and the American and the Italian footballers and the cat lovers and the people who use antibacterial sprays and all those ridiculous things that become an issue for us in our lives. Lord, reach out to every single person in this world, whatever creed and colour and nation and hobby and habit, because each one is loved by you. And Lord, if you want to send us, whether through our prayers, through our love, to reach them, then Lord, here we are. Here we are, Lord. And Lord, are these people that we have lost faith that anything will happen to them. And if you just name them before the Lord, if that comes to mind. Those individuals that you've thought, yeah, I've kind of given up on them. I just want to pray those labels come off now in Jesus' name, and that hope will begin to arise in you, that you will receive again the revelation that the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives, and that the Holy Spirit is calling them into their destiny with him, and that the fear drops off you of going out and speaking to them and reaching out to them in love. Now, Lord, you know the labels we've put on ourselves that have kept us small, have kept us fearful, have kept us separated. And Lord, we just choose now to take those labels off. And we receive the names that you have called us. Beloved, accepted. My delight is in you. You belong. And Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Just start to open up your heart and life for that freshness of the Holy Spirit to fill you. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Loved and anointed. Bringers of the love and the anointing. I'd just like to make some declarations over this congregation. The result in Acts 11 of this change of the labels, this change of perspective, was that the gospel went out to the Greeks, not only the Jews, and that teaching and pastoring were brought in for these new disciples. The prophetic was honoured, and actually that generosity, of physical generosity, was released in the lives of the disciples. So I would just like to stand and make some declarations over this congregation. Father, we thank you that we are loved. Thank you, Lord, that we are filled with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven us of our pride and our prejudice. Thank you, Lord, you have filled us afresh. And now, Lord, with your authority, I just make a declaration over this congregation, that out from this congregation, the gospel will go to those who have been excluded. That the gospel will go to people who are different from us. I make a declaration that many, many, many will be saved and added to us. I make a declaration that the pastors will be released in this place to pastor under the anointing of the Holy Spirit all those who are coming in. I just release the teaching gifts in this congregation, that all will be taught under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I just release a fresh wave of the prophetic in our congregation, that the prophetic will not only be honoured and valued, but be mighty powerful in bringing transformation and vision into this congregation. And I make a declaration that we too will be a generous people, giving not only our faith and our love, but our resources to those who need it. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are such an amazing, generous God. And we are just looking with excitement. Excitement. What an amazing time it was when the Gentiles received the word of God and were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. This wasn't just for the Jewish people, this was the whole world. And Lord, we just look to you now and we say that may today be a day of change in this congregation, and that the gospel, the full gospel of salvation, will go out from us in a new and anointed way. In Jesus' name.